WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We're inching closer to a partial government shutdown just before Christmas. The spending bill crafted by House Speaker Mike Johnson has been killed.
Johnson had negotiated a bipartisan spending bill to keep the government funded, but that deal suddenly collapsed yesterday after a fierce last-minute pressure campaign from billionaire Elon Musk, who slammed the deal for wasteful spending, calling it a crime and asking, "Ever seen a bigger piece of pork?" Christiane Cordero, ABC News. Washington.
The ex-husband of Giselle Pellicot, sentenced to 20 years behind bars for drugging her and raping her and allowing other men to do the same while she was unconscious for years. The abuse lasted nearly a decade. 50 co-defendants also found guilty of rape. The FAA has now banned drone operations in several parts of New Jersey until January 17th without special permission from the government due to special security reasons. Several people in New Jersey and elsewhere have reported seeing multiple drones in the skies recently. This is ABC News. In his new memoirs, Pope Francis has revealed how security forces thwarted two attempts on his life, including a visit to Iraq in 2021. Here's ABC foreign correspondent Ian Pannell.
Two plots to assassinate him during a high-risk visit to Iraq in 2021 thwarted. In excerpts from his forthcoming autobiography, just published in Italian newspaper Corriere della Sera, the Pope says he was advised against the trip. The pontiff wanted to go to Mosul, the recently liberated capital of the so-called Islamic State, but he was alerted to two assassination plots by Vatican security after a tip-off from British intelligence.
Federal Aviation Administration says it has found no significant safety issues with Southwest Airlines after an investigation was launched over the summer after multiple close calls with its aircraft. Officials in Orange City, Florida have issued an alert for residents to stay away from wild monkeys that have been spotted in the area this week. People have been feeding them and it's a crime there. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Clemens.
The next New Wisco weekend is all about the winter holidays. I'm Lisa Hale. Join Terry Barr and myself as we take a closer look at Solstice, Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah.
Saturday morning at 8, Sunday at 11 on WGBW and WISS. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
We have snow on the way. It'll start mid-morning, continuing through today into tonight, into tomorrow morning, with 6 to 10 inches of accumulation possible by the time it winds down tomorrow morning. Our high today, 30. Tonight, there could be some wind and blowing snow, 24. Conditions will improve tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. So I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom's back in the house, catching up on a very full week and beginning to look ahead. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, here comes the snow starting as soon as this afternoon. Looks like this one's going to bring us accumulations. Welcome to a Thursday. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Stumach, our ag meteorologist, will give you all the details on where the snow is coming and how much. Today's daytime high is right around 30 degrees. Snow is going to start to show up in the afternoon. Accumulations possible. Overnight lows down to 25 with that snow continuing. Tomorrow, we'll look for snow in the morning hours, and then it should taper off. Friday's highs right around 29. Saturday, sunshine in the forecast, but no better than 19 degrees. So you've got the details on weather. You don't have to be afraid of it. Now you know what you're dealing with. Well, that's the same approach we're taking this morning to the announcement yesterday of Wisconsin's first presumed high-path avian influenza infection in a human. A farm worker in Barron County that worked with poultry is the first noticed victim in the state. We're going to have details from Dr. Darlene Conkler, a Wisconsin State veterinarian, to make sure you know exactly what's going on with that. Katie Burgess from EverAg is going to join us. Markets are anxious, not knowing about this continuing resolution situation in Washington, D.C. Federal Reserve meeting yesterday gave us a little bit of anxiety, and we get milk production figures tomorrow. All of that's going to play into our conversation with Katie Burgess, coming your way.
Can you predict the future? I can't. That's why when I'm planting soybeans, I treat with Heads Up seed treatment. With more than 15 years of research, Heads Up offers proven protection against both white mold and sudden death syndrome. So no matter what the year throws at you, you've already taken that first step to be prepared. Don't let your beans suffer from disease when they're just starting to look their best. Tell your seed dealer you need Heads Up seed treatment. Learn more at headsupst.com.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to outyield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Farm organizations don't just rely on members' dues to accomplish their goals. Most now support their lobbying and other member-driven initiatives with actual commercial businesses. That includes the Farmers Union, where in the Midwest, 5 of those groups came together a long time ago to form Farmers Union Industries, a group headed by Dale Bednarik with headquarters in Minnesota.
Farmers Union Industries has been around since 1929. It's a partnership comprised of an ownership group of Farmers Union Enterprises, which are the 5 Farmers Union from Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, and a cooperative called Farmers Union Marketing and Processing Association. We consider ourselves the operating divisions. Everything that we do is to generate money to give back to the Farmers Union groups to further develop the family farms.
So tell us about the industries that are involved. There's about a half a dozen different industries that are involved. Who are they and where are they headquartered? What do you do?
Okay, in Central Byproducts is our rendering division. It's got 3 locations, one in Estherville, Iowa, one in Long Prairie, Minnesota, and one in Redwood Falls, Minnesota. We process, probably this year, we're going to be looking at about 1.3 billion pounds of offal and feathers and bones and blood. They are our biggest division. Like I said, that's in 1948. That's when they started the rendering division. We have a Northland Choice, which is a wet pet food protein. They take the offal products from the poultry plants, and they either a fresh chill or they block it to sell into the pet food industry. We have Artex Manufacturing, which is a manure spreader and trailer It was originally purchased back in the early 2000s as part of our plan to build trailers for our rendering facility. And now it has expanded into a, more of a major spreader building company. And we're on record pace this year, but as I alluded to in my conversations, we are extremely struggling here the last 6 months with orders. We have Performance Pet Products, which is we've invested a lot of money into that facility. It's a wet pet food cannery. It makes 13-ounce, 5.5- and 3-ounce cans. It runs 5 days a week in Mitchell, South Dakota. We have a cull hog processing facility, which takes off-spec hogs from the farmers because they can't sell them to the packers, and we utilize them in our plant. The cuts are, there's nothing wrong with these animals. The cuts are the same. They're just different sizes. So we take a lot of those off-spec hogs and we process them through our facility, and we found a very good niche with it. Once again, there's nothing wrong with the meat whatsoever. And we also have Midwest Grease. That's our final division. That is a grease collection business. We collect probably around, we'll probably be around that 29 million pounds of used cooking oil this year.
How does it break down among the six industries as far as the revenue generated from each one? Which one's the biggest and how does it go down?
The rendering division is the biggest division, and then it goes Redwood Farms Meat Processors, Performance Pet Products. This year it was Northland Choice, Artex, and Midwest Grease.
What kind of a year has it been? There have been challenges in trade, challenges with farm income. Got to have some money.
The biggest issue that we had, I think, this year was that we have to learn to control what we can control. The commodity prices did not come back the way we anticipated them to come back. And what's happened here is now is it's led to decrease in volume. Packers aren't running 6 days a week like they used to. The availability of cows out there and steers is less. Poultry's dealing with disease, and so we've run into some issues with that. So it's been a struggle. It's been a challenging overall the year. We'll end, like I said, 30% down in profits, but we should be, we'll have an okay year. Next year, we're probably be another story, but we're hoping to, hoping again that commodity prices do come back a little bit.
When we talk about 2025, as you make projections for the year, we're going to have a change in government, a change in policy. How much will that affect your expectations or planning?
Depending on what happens with the tariffs and the farm bill, if we can get any kind of movement in any of those to our advantage, then things should go. I expect we will be about on par.
As you look at these six different organizations, what are we talking as far as employment, as far as physical plants, as far as what Farmers Union Industries owns?
Okay. We have 514 employees right now that come to work every day for the, you know, like I said up in my presentation, we feel that we play a big purpose to support the family farms and what these great Farmers Union owners are doing out there to help preserve the family farm. So,
what are you seeing as far as input costs? Pet food industry, you've got to have cans, you've got to have those types of materials. How much of a challenge is it to get those at a cost-effective price?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. We have issues with increased can costs, we have increase in protein costs, and it's tough for us to pass those costs on to our customers because they aren't going to pay for it. And if they can't make money on it, they're not going to. So it is a struggle. It's a balancing act that we have to have.
We won't go unless we try it.
Try and make money. And our biggest focus has to be on controlling the costs that we can control.
Now, with five different state farmers unions involved in this, you've got facilities in three of those states. Is it 20% ownership by each of these farmers unions, or are some more involved than others, Wisconsin included?
They're all 20% owners of the organization, which they own. Probably, like I said, 85% of the revenue at Farmers Union Industries goes back into Farmers Union Enterprises. So they all equally share that 20% revenue.
So what about management, governance of Farmers Union Industries? What kind of a board overseers do you work with?
We have, presently we have, well, I like to call them 13 bosses, right, from the various states. They are approved by the Farmers Union groups to sit on the board. And like I said, there's 13 of them. Also, every other month, we meet in Redwood or off-site and go through our agenda. But the Farmers Union Enterprise, five presidents also show up. So every other month. So
now, as you look at this being an organization of the Farmers Union, you know, you're looking for the bottom-line profits. But really and truly, how much of this money is earmarked by the various organizations, and does each one in the state do it differently as far as community give back for food programs, feeding programs?
like I always tell them, my job is to make the money. How they spend the money, that's up to them. But they take dividends and every quarter to give back into the farmers union groups. Like I said, once it hits their union, their specific farmers union, it's up to them how they spend the money.
Now, the production from these six facilities, Dale, is it all sold in the United States? How much are you in the international market with any or all of this?
Rendering facility probably sells the most. We do sell a lot of poultry, pet food, or poultry pet grade product overseas to China, Indonesia. Some feather meal also gets sold overseas. Probably the biggest, I don't have a specific number on the percentage, but we do ship in containers a bunch of product overseas on the rendering side.
And then for 2025, as far as projections with the new government, with supply chains still up in the air as far as what it might be?
Yeah, we're still we're anticipating. We got to see what kind of plans are coming down the road here. Like I said, if tariffs get that high, we have to be very cognitive of, you know, looking. That's what the salesmen are doing, looking for other markets.
And that's a challenge. Dale, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Dale Bednarik, again, with Farmers Union Industries, six divisions owned by five various farmers unions, including Wisconsin, as well as Montana, Minnesota, North, and South Dakota. Farmers Union Enterprises since 1929 and still going strong. From the northern end of the world's longest barn and the recent Wisconsin Farmers Union Convention, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matt Nair on air.
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stop me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll go in the pharmacy to talk health and wellness with Dr. Omar. Then we'll be joined by Sean Betterplace from the Main Street Alliance to talk about Badger Care expansion.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
Momentum, what am I missing out there?
Well, we're watching it build, Pam. It's out in the Dakotas, and it's really getting organized now and just going to start to move on in. I mean, there's snow in North Dakota, Northwest Minnesota, heavier snow in East Central and Southeast Minnesota, Northern Iowa, the Twin Cities down to Rochester. That snow has gotten heavier, and will movies today. Northern Wisconsin under a winter storm warning, a winter weather advisory. La Crosse, Mauston, Madison into Beaver Dam, Fond du Lac to Sheboygan as well. That winter weather advisory a little later today until early tomorrow morning. The winter storm warning off in the north. It really appears we're going to have some snow, some measurable snow. You know, we haven't seen much of that here as of late. We are already in the second half of December and would expect that winter would be settling in. Well, it's going to be settling in today, tonight, and then there'll be some snow around for tomorrow. Temperatures get colder, no doubt about that. And winds out of the north gusting up near 20 and 25 miles per hour lead to a little blowing and drifting. Really wintry conditions we haven't seen for a while. This clipper moves in from the west. It's going to make its way from around the Dakotas this morning off the southern edge of Wisconsin toward northern Indiana by early tomorrow. As it drops on through here, it means snow, stronger winds. Winds that become northwest bring some colder air in. Temperatures get and stay a little colder as we look toward the weekend. No big drastic major drops today, tonight, or tomorrow, but that colder air settles in as we head toward the weekend. How about that? Sunshine does return. In fact, already later Friday into Saturday, some sun breaks out here, but it does stay a little cold and not too breezy, just sounding like what you'd expect to see as we make our way on toward this later part of December. I expect the weekend to be a little more quiet weather-wise. Temperatures moderate again, warming up on towards Sunday and Monday. Yeah, a little light snow early next week, late Monday into Monday night. I don't expect that to turn into a real event, but a little light snow may fall, and otherwise temperatures will moderate. I don't know if we've talked about it all that much, but looking toward Christmas Day, Wednesday, and beyond, well above normal temperatures are expected to be seen. A very mild pattern going to be in store. In fact, wrapping up this month of December, I would say we're probably going to be on the above normal side temperature-wise, sounding pretty mild indeed as we make our way on toward this time next week. I'll have forecast details right after
this. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
The holiday season is a time for celebration, and nothing brings people together quite like cheese. Whether it's a festive cheese board or a thoughtful gift, Wisconsin cheese is the perfect addition to your holiday plans. Angie Edge, Dairy Company Communications Manager for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, shares that the best part is it's easy to find, whether you're shopping in store or online.
You can go to probably any local Wisconsin retailer and find Wisconsin cheese, because Wisconsin cheese is in 99% of grocery stores across the country. But if you don't have time to get out too, you can simply go online and shop locally by creating a Wisconsin cheese gift basket from your local retailer. And we also really encourage you, when you're out shopping, to look for that Proudly Wisconsin cheese badge, because it's the ultimate identification to let consumers know that it's the highest quality, winning awards, and made with Wisconsin milk.
For recipes, pairings, or ideas for your holiday spread, visit wisconsincheese.com.
All righty, Stu, let's talk a little bit more about details on this storm that's coming in. Let's say just the next 48 hours or so. Who's going to get the heaviest snow? And is this heavy as far as water volume, or is it the dusty stuff?
I think it's going to have more weight to it in terms of water, moisture, you know, kind of wet and sloppy. The heaviest, most likely, into western Wisconsin, the Twin Cities, into the central part of the state, and over toward Old Green Bay, northern Lake Winnebago along the lakeshore. Lake effect snow, certainly a possibility in eastern Wisconsin, Sheboygan, Fond du Lac, Manitowoc County, that area. So the winter storm warning through the central part of the state, the winter weather advisory in the south and the north as well. Expect today more cloudy skies and snow develops. Not too heavy yet today, but some snow developing. Even this morning in the west, of course, and more likely midday or later further east and south. Temps today in the upper 20s and low 30s, with the southeast winds about 5 to 15. More clouds and snow around overnight as we drop back in the low 20s, maybe upper teens in the north, mid-20s in the south. Southeast winds becoming north, 5 to 15, gusting to 25. Clouds, a little snow early, clearing out already Friday. A little cooler in the low to mid-20s with the north winds gusting to 25. And then some sunshine Saturday, Pam. We'll call it low teens, if you will, 10 degrees in the north, upper teens in the south, north winds about 5, and then back toward the 20s on Sunday and in the 30s already for next week.
All righty. Very good. Thanks, Stu. Appreciate it. We'll catch up with you tomorrow, buddy.
Gotcha. See you then.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, just giving you a fair warning about this next weather event coming in. Hey, anybody that's got access to their smartphones or wants to give me a call, talk text line is open, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Let me know what's happening in your neighborhood this morning.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge. There's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
Oh, the worst.
Wow. You would talk like that.
Like get that. This. Absolutely. Get this.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we can get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS and on the Civic Media app.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. .9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We're inching closer to a partial government shutdown just before Christmas. The spending bill crafted by House Speaker Mike Johnson has been killed.
Johnson had negotiated a bipartisan spending bill to keep the government funded, but that deal suddenly collapsed yesterday after a fierce last-minute pressure campaign from billionaire Elon Musk, who slammed the deal for wasteful spending, calling it a crime, and asking, "Ever seen a bigger piece of pork?" Christiane Cordero, ABC News. Washington.
The ex-husband of Giselle Pellico, sentenced to 20 years behind bars for drugging her and raping her and allowing other men to do the same while she was unconscious for years. The abuse lasted nearly a decade. 50 co-defendants also found guilty of rape. The FAA has now banned drone operations in several parts of New Jersey until January 17th without special permission from the government due to special security reasons. Several people in New Jersey and elsewhere have reported seeing multiple drones in the skies recently. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Variety reports that the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has announced the shortlist for the Oscars in 10 categories. Emilia Perez led the way with 6 nominations, and Wicked came in second with 4. Voting to determine the actual nominations will take place January 8th, with nominations being announced January 17th. The 97th Oscars ceremony will air March 2nd of this coming year. Superscribe Taylor Sheridan has received criticism for his role of Travis on Yellowstone. The show's creator has come under fire on social media, with fans saying that they thought it was lame that he wrote himself onto the show and made Bella Hadid his girlfriend, calling it totally unnecessary. Just for the record, folks, Taylor Sheridan has written himself onto other shows as well, including Lioness and 1883. Maybe he's just created so many shows he's running out of actors. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Marquette scores a conference win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Marquette Golden Eagles began their Big East schedule with an 80-70 win over the Butler Bulldogs in Milwaukee. Cam Jones with 23 points. The Golden Eagles with just 2 turnovers. College football, the Badgers signed Ohio State wide receiver Jaden Ballard. Former Badgers offensive coordinator Phil Longo named the new head coach of Sam Houston University. He'd been with that team before his time in Madison. NFL, the Packers getting ready to host the Saints on Monday Night Football. Jordan Love, asked on the Rich Eisen Show, is he a better quarterback after backing up Aaron Rodgers those 3 years in Green Bay?
That's a good question. Who knows? I do believe for sure that having those 3 years, be able to sit behind a legend, Aaron Rodgers, and just watch him work and learn and pick his brain definitely helped me so much. And just be able to, you know, learn on the side and grow my game until, you know, I was truly ready. So many valuable lessons just being able to watch Aaron those 3 years.
That's Jordan Love with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Maggie Dawn.
Do you sometimes feel lonely around the holidays? We talk about how to combat that loneliness, as well as the New York City Unsent Letters Project next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have snow on the way. It'll start mid-morning, continuing through today into tonight, into tomorrow morning, with 6 to 10 inches of accumulation possible by the time it winds down tomorrow morning. Our high today, 30. Tonight, there could be some wind and blowing snow, 24. Conditions will improve tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to fake.
Right. Lean left. Straight. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The holidays are here, and it's nearly time to pick a present from our grown-up gift list with our Civic Media statewide text to win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of our grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in our statewide contest.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and, like, newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Going forward, a little bit surprised with those, especially at kind of the same time yesterday.
I don't know. Are they going to get it done, or is Elon Musk going to cross things up? I'm talking about the continuing resolution that Congress is looking at, working on today, needs to get it done by the end of the day on Friday, or the government shuts down. If the government shuts down and this bill doesn't pass, it takes with it any chances of funding for a lot of farm programs. That's what we're talking about on a Thursday. Welcome back, everybody. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We've also got Katie Burgess from EverAg joining us. She's one of the risk managers. Tomorrow we get our latest milk production figures for the month of November. How much did high-path avian influenza in California impact overall milk production? And speaking of high-path avian influenza, details on the way to help you better understand the first presumed detection of high-path avian influenza in a human, a farm worker in Barron County. We're going to give you all the details on that. The latest detection of high-path avian influenza also announced in a backyard flock in Kenosha County. So we got a lot of ground to cover before we get to Katie. As we get started this morning, it is the 19th day of December. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, back in 1972, Apollo 17 came back to Earth. It was a three-person crew, and that was the first time that the space flight launched at night. Apollo 17 back on Earth on this day back in 1972. A couple of happy birthdays this morning. Alyssa Milano, the actress, she is 52 years young. Jake Gyllenhaal, he is 44 years young. And magician, illusionist, Chris Angel turns 57 today. And now you know, if you were in the building with me, you would see everybody's got their doors decorated. We've got all kinds of tinsel everywhere, getting in the holiday spirit. But you know what? The holidays are not necessarily a great time for a lot of people. Loneliness, depression, it's a real factor, and it can impact farm families as well. Ben Jarbo explains about some of the resources that are available and also some of the triggers to watch out for.
For many, the holiday season is a time of joy and happiness, where you get the chance to be with friends and family. But for some, this time of year elicits other feelings. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Stephanie Hoff had a talk with Susan Springer, the founder of Suicide Prevention of Southwest Wisconsin, on what some of these feelings are and how you can help someone who's grieving, as well as tips to help yourself to get through this holiday season.
The first couple years after a loss is extremely hard, and people just want to sleep through the whole day. They don't even want it to come, and they'll start being anxious about it. Like, as soon as December, like December 1st, it's like, oh no, this is, you know, the Christmas month, and it's going to be terrible. Try to keep busy, definitely, but don't do anything more than you want to. Like I said, if you feel like you really have to go to the family gathering or a Christmas party for work or the implement, go, but drive separate. So if you need to leave or feel you want to leave or if you're feeling sadness, come on. Because some stuff like that, sometimes you can just start crying from either a song or something you see or maybe a story somebody tells you about your loved one that passed away. And that's what you want to hear. You want to hear the stories, but sometimes they can trigger tears. And then that sometimes makes you want to leave. So have a backup. Make sure that you have a vehicle there or a way, somebody that you rode with that will leave at the drop of the hat if you request them to. So you don't have to stay.
You know, personally, Susan, sometimes I feel awkward approaching someone who is grieving. You don't know what to say. You don't know, you know, how... You just don't know how to approach the right subject during their difficult time.
Right.
So again, for someone, for the outsider, what are some strategies to be a better... to be a better friend, relative, friend, coworker?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Stephanie. Exactly what you just said. Don't try to minimize it like, oh, you know, it'll be fine in a couple of years or your grief will go away. You'll get back to normal. Don't minimize it. But just you can even say, I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm here for you. You can give them a hug. As simple as that. If that's something that your relationship would allow, you can give them a hug or a pat on the back. But just keep including them in things, because as a person that lost and is grieving, you feel awkward too. You feel awkward when people avoid you, and you can recognize it, notice it. And you really want to hear stories about your loved one, but the hard part is it also triggers tears a lot of times. So that's when you as an outsider can just put your arm around them and pat them on the back, you know, and just say, I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, it's simple gestures of caring. We're not asking anyone to go above and beyond here.
No, that is right. That is right. Just do what you feel you can do. And maybe that is buy a bag of groceries and leave it off on their front step anonymously, like a random act of kindness. Because when you're in grief like that, you don't feel like going to the store. You don't feel like getting out of bed. You don't feel like getting dressed. So even something simple like not waiting for them to ask you, because I know like during funerals and stuff, people always say, oh, whatever you need, you let me know. You just tell me, I'll be there for you. When you're in that situation, you're grieving, you're so far beyond that you can't even think straight to say, oh, well, I need supper for the next couple of weeks because I cannot even function. So just dropping off a meal or organizing some friends or neighbors to do meals and kind of break it up and everybody bring one every other day or weekly or whatever. That really helps too.
Springer wants to remind everyone that you will get through this holiday season and you will come out tougher on the other end. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Veltima fungicide is on your side to out-yield the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre, but you've never been average. Beat your own record, get every bushel you deserve, and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
You see the headlines all the time, consumers confused by food labels. Well, not if they shop at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here, asking you to take a closer look at the food labels at Bavaria Sausage. You know, they are working towards making sure when you take a look at whatever product they've got in the store, you know exactly what it is. They're using different colors. They're also making sure that there's a picture on that label to help you better understand the protein source that you're looking at. It's all about making sure they're combining the old world flavors, the artisan blends, and making sure that you understand when there's something new in the showcase, what is it and where did it come from? Simple information, easily understood. And of course, there's always someone there to answer your questions if you've got them. Bavaria Sausage at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, located also online, BavariaSausage.com. Old recipes, new labels. Take a look. So yesterday, the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, along with the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, announced their first presumed case of high path avian influenza in a human.
a farm worker in Barron County that worked with a poultry flock that contracted high-path avian influenza has presumably tested positive for the virus. Now, the good news, according to the Department of Health Services, is that farm worker is expected to make a full recovery, basically ended up with a sore throat, runny nose, that type of situation. But it is a version of high-path avian influenza. Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State veterinarian at the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, says it's all about paying attention to the strains and genotypes of high-path avian influenza currently flying over and around the state.
You know, if you look at the national picture for the H5N1 virus, it's an ongoing threat, I think, for dairy and livestock producers and poultry. We certainly see more virus in the environment at certain times of the year, in spring and in fall. But the United States has seen cases throughout the past couple of years for this virus. So not that people should be unduly frightened of it or anything like that, but we do want people to be aware of good biosecurity and try to prevent the entrance of this virus into their herds or flocks.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, our Wisconsin State veterinarian, part of the conversation was inspired because of a new detection of high-path avian influenza, this time in a backyard flock in Kenosha County. Now, a backyard flock is kind of a general term. It means they're generally smaller. This particular flock was made up of 88 chickens and 5 ducks that will be depopulated. No products will leave that backyard flock. Dr. Conkle says right now they're trying to get a handle on exactly what genotype this H5N1 virus is so that they can help contribute information not only statewide but on a national scene.
There is there are differences in the genotypes, even though it is an H5N1 virus in both the cattle cases and the poultry. The genotypes in a lot of cases have been different, and cattle have had the B3.13 genotype affecting them. We're not aware of the genotype that has affected these latest two poultry flocks. We won't get that information for some time from the National Veterinary Services Laboratory of USDA. Our assumption is that it's the genotype circulating in wild waterfowl, since we haven't identified any connections with dairy with these latest two cases.
Dr. Darlene Conkle, Wisconsin State veterinarian. So again, biosecurity still matters. Our dairy herds have not been impacted. The person with HPAI is making a full recovery, and that latest flock detected positive in Kenosha County will be depopulated. Markets this morning pretty quiet in Chicago, still waiting to see what's going to happen in Washington, D.C. with that continuing resolution. Now they say Elon Musk is getting involved, and they question whether it's going to be able to happen. Our corn markets are unchanged this morning. The bean market currently up 3 cents for both January and November. The wheat market is down a nickel both March and July. Yesterday, barrel and black cheese were both unchanged. Double A butter dropped a penny to $2.51. And this morning, our January Class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 23 cents at $19.94 a hundredweight. Katie Burgess with EverEgg joins us next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Mathers, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
I'm going to admit something that I normally would not admit. A lot of times I don't wear underwear.
We got to go to a break.
I don't have a cart, and I'm carrying this stuff.
Yeah.
I got my finger in the loop, holding my pants up, because they would literally go down. And twice, people stopped me. Hey, John Mino, as I'm trying to hold my pants up and hold my stuff in my arms.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Thursday's show, we'll get some holiday magic with Gizmo and former UW Green Bay basketball coach Todd Kowalczyk.
Plus, our friend Pat Tracy gives us a final list of holiday events happening in Oshkosh. Join us.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Just along with us, one of the risk managers that's helping us with dairy forecasting when it comes to the end of the year. Katie, welcome in. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. Right now, the news is crackling about the continuing resolution potentially failing, government shutdown. Markets were a little jittery yesterday on the Fed meeting, too, and that included dairy, right?
That's for sure. It seemed like during the morning, spot cheese held steady yesterday. Markets were mixed to a little lower. But then after settlements posted around 1 o'clock yesterday, and then all the news came out about the macro market, you know, in those afternoon hours, the dairy markets really traded off, just, I believe, based on concerns about what could happen. And we're seeing that continue through the overnight session with January, February milk markets down 20 cents. As we speak right now.
Don't like the sounds of that. Cheese was quiet yesterday. Are we pretty much through our holiday burp then?
That's for sure. I'm talking to some folks, you know, maybe a few last bottles of eggnog being made or some heavy whipping cream. But other than that, the holiday demand season is just about done. The product that is going to be on the shelves for Christmas is already well on its way. And so it does feel like, traditionally, as we get towards the end of the year, demand for dairy will slow down. We've still got a lot of football ahead of us. Super Bowl remains a big holiday for cheese, but it does feel like we're ending the main demand season and now going to transition back into inventory building. So traditionally why we see a little bit lower prices then as we always kick off the new year.
Katie Burgess is along with us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. She is one of the risk managers with EverAg. I remind you of their website, ever.ag, if you want to check them out. The other thing that the market can kind of anticipate tomorrow, Katie, we get USDA's November milk production. We just had a story break yesterday of high path avian influenza in a human for the very first time. High path is still an issue out on the West Coast, isn't it?
That's true. And yesterday also news about California declaring a state of emergency over it. I would say at this point, more than half of the dairies in California have had avian influenza, but they're looking for ways to do increased monitoring. Story very much still in the news, even though it does seem like hopefully the worst is behind California dairy producers. Something we're watching really carefully, though, as we head into 2025, as you know, some spots in the U.S. have had it, but other spots haven't encountered it yet. So going to see what happens there. But then you alluded to it, Pam. We get a milk production report from USDA here this afternoon. With that, we are expecting to see enough growth in other spots of the U.S. to offset the losses that we've seen in California. And as we look forward into 2025, we're expecting continued milk production growth. 2024 was a year where we saw a lot of contraction earlier this year. It seems like that's changing in part because we're adding a lot of new processing capacity and there's a new demand for that milk.
And where is that milk end product going? I've asked that question. Is all that contracted or is that just hitting the open market?
I think it's a mix. And, you know, some of it I believe is contracted, but that probably means someone else's cheese is going to have to find a new home. I think as we think about 2025, that's why we continue to talk about the international markets. Exports are going to be so important as we make more milk, make more cheese. U.S. consumers continue to eat more and more cheese incrementally, but it's not going to be enough. So those export markets will remain very important into 2025 to keep the market cleaned up.
Katie Burgess, along with us, broker analyst, risk manager with EverAg. Now, all right, what are we seeing any new products finding new interest in 2025? Is yogurt going to be hot? Is it going to be cottage cheese? You know what I mean, Katie? Are we getting a pulse on anything that's going to be the I gotta have it in the Dairy Showcase 2025?
Right now, one of the highest featured products has been anything with high protein. The whey market, for instance, had last week got up to the highest levels we've seen in a few years. And I think it's really the trend remains on protein, especially as people are looking at new diets, protein features heavy. And we've seen that trend really picking up here in 2024. And so I would expect those high protein products to continue to have strong demand in 2025, which is in part why we see the whey prices up so much here the past few weeks.
Katie Burgess, long one last one for you, Katie. If this continuing resolution fails, we don't get any of the monies that are tucked in there for farm. Does that impact our dairy programs?
It definitely could. I haven't seen all the details as it's a developing story, but a couple things for producers to keep in mind. One, you know, depending on what happens with the government, if the government ends up shutting down, a lot of times in that instance, there'll be no dairy revenue protection insurance or LGM insurance. So some of those crop insurance programs get put on hold. And then, of course, you know, waiting to see what happens with the farm bill as well with, you know, current expiration and thinking about what do we get for 2025. So those are the things I'm watching there as it relates to our dairy producers.
Katie Burgess joining us live from EverAg. Have a great day.
This is the...
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
From the lakeshore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
Talking about the market for real Christmas trees today on Farm to Fork. Hurricanes Helene and Milton happened almost back-to-back, devastating a huge swath of the southeastern United States. Many farms and farming communities were affected. The American Red Cross and other organizations are accepting donations for relief efforts in those stricken communities. They can use your support. There's a link on the homepage at NorthShoreProductions.com if you'd like to help.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
The National Christmas Tree Association says more than 21.5 million real Christmas trees were purchased for the 2023 Christmas season. A few of those were sold from Jim Gelson's farm in Virginia. Gelson says Christmas trees are a rather unique crop.
You got to be forward-thinking in the tree business. What's happening now isn't the case for 8 years out.
Gelson is an avid promoter of people becoming Christmas tree farmers.
Look, forget about hemp. Plant Christmas trees. It's here now. You don't have federal regulation, federal permits, or anything. It's good to go. Get some acreage, plant some trees.
Gelson says the ROI growing Christmas trees is amazing.
You get trees for 20 cents a piece. Sorry, I'm going to put 5,000 Norway spruce out in the spring. That's $1,000. In 12 years, they'll be worth $1 million. What else can you invest in to get a return like that?
Like all agricultural or horticultural pursuits, Gelson admits there's some risk.
It's calculated risk. So you've got an idea of where your return is, what your odds of return are. Yeah, and I think the future looks good.
About 15 years ago, demand for real trees tapered off, and growers cut back on plantings. Then, about 3 years ago, that demand picked up again. That's Farm to Fork.
I'm Daryl Anderson.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Kevin Solomon from Common Ground will be joining us to talk about what is going on with the Milwaukee Housing Authority. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine, Sports with J.R. Ratcliffe. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Mino and the Mayor.
You ever really want to get back at me?
Well, you're claustrophobic. That would really...
Oh, God.
Oh, that would be tough for you.
Oh, the worst.
Wow. You would talk like that.
Like get that. Absolutely. Get this.
Put him in a drum and throw him in the water. He's claustrophobic and he can't swim.
Yeah.
I think we could get anything we wanted out of you.
Anything.
All right, Todd, mental note.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS. And on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A bipartisan spending bill that would have averted a government shutdown days before Christmas is now dead after Republicans felt pressure from the incoming administration.
Overnight, House Speaker Mike Johnson declining to answer questions after meeting with Vice President-elect J.D. Vance.
I'm not going to say anything else more about it tonight because we're in the middle of these negotiations, but I think we'll be able to solve some problems here and we'll keep working on it.
As the clock ticks down to a government shutdown this weekend, Christiane Cordero, ABC News. Washington.
Members of the Teamsters who work for Amazon are on the picket lines in several big cities today. They want better pay and health benefits. Amazon says package deliveries will not be affected. The FAA is banning drone flying in parts of New Jersey following several reports of drone sightings in the state recently. The man in France who prosecutors say drugged his wife and then raped her, then invited 50 other men to do the same for years, found guilty and sentenced to 20 years behind bars. This is ABC News.